Reading Limitless Love for April the 8th. A Most Costly Sin. Mark 11, 24, 26, New International Version says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins." In the Living Translation, it says, "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." Amen. Not only is unforgiveness a violation of love, it is one of the most costly sins we can commit. I am fully convinced that if believers understood just how deadly the consequences can be, they would never ever fail to quickly and freely forgive. Unforgiveness hinders our faith and stops our prayers from being answered. It opens the door to sickness and disease while closing the door to healing. Some people have died terrible death, all the while calling on God for help. Yet because they continue to cling to bitterness and resentment, refusing to forgive someone who hurt them, they weren't unable to receive the healing they so desperately needed. Unforgiveness co-signs us to a life of guilt and condemnation because it stops us from receiving the sense of forgiveness from God that we need to be cleansed and restored. When we sin and need forgiveness from Him, our refusal to forgive another will make it seem the heavens are brass and the doors to God's throne room has been closed unto us. It is no wonder that in the sight of God, forgiveness is such serious business. He knows our whole future and standard of life depends on it. He knows that if we refuse to forgive, we'll become prisoners of failure and defeat. Of course, the devil knows that too. So you can be sure he'll try to deceive you. On the one hand, he'll tell you that some offense you carry is too small to cause you harm. After all, it's just a little unforgiveness. A minor grudge in that great big scheme of things, it won't make much difference. On the other hand, he'll convince you that the major mistreatment you suffer cannot be dismissed. It was too painful and too costly. Surely, God himself must understand that until you see justice done, you can't let it go. But despite the devil's arguments, Jesus' words remain unmistakably clear. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive. Anything and anyone, God has a comprehensive policy of forgiveness. Abide by it, and it will protect you from much unnecessary pain and keep you in the place of answered prayer. Amen. Just like the New Living Testament said, "But when you are praying, first," it says, "first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." Wouldn't you like to have that new vehicle, the new car, if you can believe? Go check it out. Buy things for the car, things, just reminisce, romance it. Enjoy the leather or whatever and smell it. All you have to do is believe. Make yourself believe that you have that car. Amen. And your spirit will let go of faith. Now remember, as according to the New Living Translation in the Recovery Bible says, God wants us to pray for His will to be done in our lives as much as He wants us to pray for fruitfulness in His kingdom. Work. It is God's will, however, to remove mountains of resistance or denial from our lives. God has the power to do miracles, but not if we doubt Him. The God of the kingdom and of recovery is the God of the impossible. If we want God to work a miracle of healing in our lives, for instance, or for something else, we must pray and believe that He will. We need to admit our helplessness and put our lives in God's hands. He will then walk us as we face each new step in recovery and manifestation, obtaining things, you know. It is God's goodwill for us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Amen. Now for April the 9th, a perfectly safe place to be. Ephesians 1, 4 and 6. He has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved. And now in the New Living Translations, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 6 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Amen. All fear in our lives would completely disappear if we only understood how dear and how precious we are to our Heavenly Father. If we knew he treasures us, if we comprehend how committed he is to love and protect us, our anxieties will fly out the window, our worries would vanish. We would be the happiest, most carefree people this world has ever seen. But most of us have been robbed of that revelation. Religion has given us the impression we're just worthless sinners saved by grace, scrubby orphans, who should be content to beg at the Lord's back door. There's a story of one little lady with the idea who would stand up to testify in church and say, I'm just a worm in the dirt for Jesus. She said it so often that finally one man in the congregation couldn't take it anymore. He jumped up and answered, yes, Granny, and one of these days the devil is going to use you for fish bait. That's not just funny, it's true. As long as the devil can keep us from taking our place in God's family and receiving by faith our Father's loving care, he can terrorize us day and night. He can make us live like frightened orphans, even though we've been adopted as sons of Almighty God. Actually, we were orphans at one time. The Bible says before we were saved, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Ephesians 2:12. But when we call out to the Lord, he rescues us. He made us members of his own household, and that makes us especially precious to him. The Old Testament reveals just how fiercely protective God is of orphans who turn to him for help. He told Israel, if thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry out all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Exodus 22, 23, and 24. That's how protective God is towards us today. He takes it personally when anyone tries to do us harm, and he comes to our defense himself. As his adopted children, he holds us tenderly and firmly in his mighty hand. Even in the dangerous world, that is a perfectly safe place to be. Amen. Now, the Recovery Bible says, recovery cannot begin until we admit that our lives are unmanageable and that we are powerless over our circumstances. The Apostle Paul reminds us that God is sovereign over all the details of our lives. God has a special plan for each of us, and that plan includes adopting us into his family. We have already realized that doing things our way leads to painful consequences. With this in mind, we can be motivated to submit to God's perfect will for our lives. God wants only what is best for us. It is always God's will for us to find new life in him. Amen. And now let's go ahead and do April the 10th, please. A powerful family of love. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 to 16 says, speaking the truth in love, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Okay, let's go ahead and read that again in the New Translation, NLT. Okay, 15 and 16 says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen. The New Testament picture of the church is that of a home much like the heaven on earth. It's the picture of a powerful family and a heavenly father knit together with unbreakable bonds of love. It's a family where even the spiritual babies are safe from the storms of life, even those not yet strong enough to fight fates, fight for themselves, are fearless because they know if they need to, they can run to their family for help. Have you ever seen a child who was awakened in the night by a clap of thunder or a flash of lightning? If that child was from a loving home, he didn't lie alone in his room, shaking and trying to be brave. He ran down the hall and jumped to the bed with his mother and father, or snuggled up to next to his older brother or sister. And a few minutes later, he was sound asleep, secure in the place of love. That's how the family of God was meant to be. God never intended us to pick on and criticize one another. He never meant us to hurt each other or to be rough on those who stumble and sin. No, he told us to deal gently with even those who have fallen, to uphold the weak and comfort the discouraged. He instructs us to bear, endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults, and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2, Amplified Bible. Imagine what will happen as we more fully obey those instructions. Think that the church will become as we stop threatening it like an institution, treating it like an institution or simply an organization, and begin to make it God's powerful family of love. We will be a family with ties so strong that when the devil jumps on one of us, he finds he has all of us to deal with. A family that continues built itself up instead of tearing itself down. By the grace of God, we can do it. You can, before we in the church are caught up to heaven, we can bring heaven right down to earth. All we have to do is take our place in God's family and start caring for each other. All we have to do is make a quality commitment to start giving our full share of love. And the way we do it in our family is we give a full commitment, a share of praising Jesus for that person, situation, and place. Amen. The New Living Testament says on the Recovery Bible that we have been gifted in ways that makes us necessary to others. Others have been gifted in ways that make them necessary to us. Some of us have special gifts for teaching others about God, teaching. Others may have the gift of caring for hurting people. Our individual gifts are important for the emotional and spiritual growth of others. God has a purpose for each of us, so we must strive to know him better through prayer, meditation on his word. He will show us what our gifts are and how we can use them to help others. As we share our gift and receive the benefits of other people's gifts, we will find the body of Christ growing stronger and full of love. Amen, amen. God bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Thank you for coming on today and helping me read. God bless you. Reading Limitless Love for April the 8th. A Most Costly Sin. Mark 11, 24, 26, New International Version says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins." In the Living Translation, it says, "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." Amen. Not only is unforgiveness a violation of love, it is one of the most costly sins we can commit. I am fully convinced that if believers understood just how deadly the consequences can be, they would never ever fail to quickly and freely forgive. Unforgiveness hinders our faith and stops our prayers from being answered. It opens the door to sickness and disease while closing the door to healing. Some people have died terrible deaths, all the while calling on God for help. Yet because they continue to cling to bitterness and resentment, refusing to forgive someone who hurt them, they weren't unable to receive the healing they so desperately needed. Unforgiveness co-signs us to a life of guilt and condemnation because it stops us from receiving the sense of forgiveness from God that we need to be cleansed and restored. When we sin and need forgiveness from Him, our refusal to forgive another will make it seem the heavens are brass and the doors to God's throne room has been closed unto us. It is no wonder that in the sight of God, forgiveness is such serious business. He knows our whole future and standard of life depends on it. He knows that if we refuse to forgive, we'll become prisoners of failure and defeat. Of course, the devil knows that too, so you can be sure he'll try to deceive you. On the one hand, he'll tell you that some offense you carry is too small to cause you harm. After all, it's just a little unforgiveness. A minor grudge in that great big scheme of things, it won't make much difference. On the other hand, he'll convince you that the major mistreatment you suffer cannot be dismissed. It was too painful and too costly. Surely, God himself must understand that until you see justice done, you can't let it go. But despite the devil's arguments, Jesus' words remain unmistakably clear. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive. Anything and anyone, God has a comprehensive policy of forgiveness. Abide by it, and it will protect you from much unnecessary pain and keep you in the place of answered prayer. Amen. Just like the New Living Testament said, "But when you are praying, first," it says, "first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." Wouldn't you like to have that new vehicle, the new car, if you can believe? Go check it out. Buy things for the car, things, just reminisce, romance it, enjoy the leather or whatever and smell it. All you have to do is believe. Make yourself believe that you have that car. Amen. And your spirit will let go of faith. Now remember, as according to the New Living Translation in the Recovery Bible says, God wants us to pray for his will to be done in our lives as much as he wants us to pray for fruitfulness in his kingdom. Work. It is God's will, however, to remove mountains of resistance or denial from our lives. God has the power to do miracles, but not if we doubt him. The God of the kingdom and of recovery is the God of the impossible. If we want God to work a miracle of healing in our lives, for instance, or for something else, we must pray and believe that He will. We need to admit our helplessness and put our lives in God's hands. He will then walk us as we face each new step in recovery and manifestation, obtaining things, you know. It is God's goodwill for us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Amen. Now for April the 9th, a perfectly safe place to be. Ephesians 1, 4 and 6. He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And now in the New Living Translations, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 6 says, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. Amen. All fear in our lives would completely disappear if we only understood how dear and how precious we are to our Heavenly Father. If we knew He treasures us, if we comprehend how committed He is to love and protect us, our anxieties will fly out the window, our worries would vanish. We would be the happiest, most carefree people this world has ever seen. But most of us have been robbed of that revelation. Religion has given us the impression we're just worthless sinners saved by grace, scrubby orphans, who should be content to beg at the Lord's back door. There's a story of one little lady with the idea who would stand up to testify in church and say, I'm just a worm in the dirt for Jesus. She said it so often that finally one man in the congregation couldn't take it anymore. He jumped up and answered, yes, Granny, and one of these days the devil is going to use you for fish bait. That's not just funny, it's true. As long as the devil can keep us from taking our place in God's family and receiving by faith our Father's loving care, he can terrorize us day and night. He can make us live like frightened orphans, even though we've been adopted as sons of Almighty God. Actually, we were orphans at one time. The Bible says before we were saved, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Ephesians 2:12. But when we call out to the Lord, He rescues us. He made us members of His own household, and that makes us especially precious to Him. The Old Testament reveals just how fiercely protective God is of orphans who turn to Him for help. He told Israel, if thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry out all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Exodus 22, 23, and 24. That's how protective God is towards us today. He takes it personally when anyone tries to do us harm, and He comes to our defense Himself. As His adopted children, He holds us tenderly and firmly in His mighty hand. Even in the dangerous world, that is a perfectly safe place to be. Amen. Now, the Recovery Bible says, recovery cannot begin until we admit that our lives are unmanageable and that we are powerless over our circumstances. The Apostle Paul reminds us that God is sovereign over all the details of our lives. God has a special plan for each of us, and that plan includes adopting us into His family. We have already realized that doing things our way leads to painful consequences. With this in mind, we can be motivated to submit to God's perfect will for our lives. God wants only what is best for us. It is always God's will for us to find new life in Him. Amen. And now let's go ahead and do April the 10th, please. A powerful family of love. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, speaking the truth in love, grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Okay, let's go ahead and read that again in the New Translation, NLT. Okay, 15 and 16 says, it says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen. The New Testament picture of the church is that of a home much like the heaven on earth. It's the picture of a powerful family and a heavenly Father knit together with unbreakable bonds of love. It's a family where even the spiritual babies are safe from the storms of life, even those not yet strong enough to fight fate's fight for themselves, are fearless because they know if they need to, they can run to their family for help. Have you ever seen a child who was awakened in the night by a clap of thunder or a flash of lightning? If that child was from a loving home, he didn't lie alone in his room, shaking and trying to be brave. He ran down the hall and jumped to the bed with his mother and father, or snuggled up next to his older brother or sister. And a few minutes later, he was sound asleep, secure in the place of love. That's how the family of God was meant to be. God never intended us to pick on and criticize one another. He never meant us to hurt each other or to be rough on those who stumble and sin. No, He told us to deal gently with even those who have fallen, to uphold the weak and comfort the discouraged. He instructs us to bear, endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults, and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2, Amplified Bible. Imagine what will happen as we more fully obey those instructions. Think that the church will become as we stop threatening it like an institution, treating it like an institution or simply an organization, and begin to make it God's powerful family of love. We will be a family with ties so strong that when the devil jumps on one of us, he finds he has all of us to deal with. A family that continues builds itself up instead of tearing itself down. By the grace of God, we can do it. You can, before we in the church are caught up to heaven, we can bring heaven right down to earth. All we have to do is take our place in God's family and start caring for each other. All we have to do is make a quality commitment to start giving our full share of love. And the way we do it in our family is we give a full commitment, a share of praising Jesus for that person, situation, and place. Amen. The New Living Testament says on the Recovery Bible that we have been gifted in ways that makes us necessary to others. Others have been gifted in ways that make them necessary to us. Some of us have special gifts for teaching others about God, teaching. Others may have the gift of caring for hurting people. Our individual gifts are important for the emotional and spiritual growth of others. God has a purpose for each of us, so we must strive to know Him better through prayer, meditation on His Word. He will show us what our gifts are and how we can use them to help others. As we share a gift and receive the benefits of other people's gifts, we will find the body of Christ growing stronger and full of love. Amen, amen. God bless you and keep you. Make His face to shine upon you. Thank you for coming on today and helping me read. God bless you.